Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And we pray that as we do, you would reveal yourself to us. In Christ's name, amen. So when I was a little guy, I remember, this is going to be a problem, isn't it? I remember driving around with my dad. Actually, he would be driving and I would be riding. But I remember he had this way of persisting to listen to a radio program, just irrespective of the static that was going on through the actual radio. It would be a baseball game or a talk radio program or something, and either we were traveling at a distance from the radio tower or underneath a power line, and it just constantly over the program. And I thought, sweet Moses, change the channel. Like, what in the world? How is this program so compelling? But he would. And then, as I am my father's son, when Kristen and I were married, and we've never really had cable, but we would have the antenna, the rabbit ear antenna, you know what I'm talking about? You'd plug into your TV, and sure enough, I'd be watching some sporting event or some program, and there's all kinds of static, and I'm sitting there like, you know, just trying to get foil. And have you ever done this with the foil? Oh my goodness, how ridiculous. But that's what I would do because I would really want to see this program. And oftentimes, I think that can serve as an illustration of how life can be for us sometimes. We're experiencing life, trying to engage with life meaningfully, and there's just this static going on in the background. And that static can keep us from being able to concentrate on the things that we need to concentrate on. That static can disrupt our relationships. That static can disrupt our sleep. That's oftentimes when we observe it, which was why we read Psalm 77. We can be up late at night just refusing to be able to get to sleep or to have good rest. Our minds racing with the concerns and the pressures of the previous day or the day coming. And we all are kind of looking for a bit of peace of mind. We're looking to reduce the static. We're either going to change the channel or play with the antenna, whatever. We want to get rid of the static. And most of human life is really about that. Reducing the static, achieving peace of mind. And we frequently will attempt that and pursue that in our circumstance. Get a good education, to get a good job that pays the bills. So you're not worried about where you're going to sleep, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. And you provide those basic needs for yourself. Getting friends. You're taking Maslow's kind of, you know, progression of needs. And we spend time trying to achieve that kind of safety and security for ourselves. And this morning's message is meant to be on how to achieve peace of mind. Because the ironic thing is, the people who are most capable of achieving that kind of security for themselves, whether they be athletes, entertainers, politicians, executives, whoever, ironically enough, are some of the least peaceful in their life. And we read biography after biography of people who have made it to the top and have not gained for themselves the kind of peace of mind that they were hoping to find at the top. And now I could give a sermon, or anybody could give a sermon on some practical strategies as to how to achieve peace of mind for yourself, reordering your schedule, creating margin in your life, doing all of these different sorts of things. But these high capacity, high caliber people have done that, presumably to a greater degree than you or I might be able to do, and have still not found the kind of peace of mind that we're after. And as a church, what do we mean to supply? Do we mean to supply you with a simple oratory that can regurgitate what you could read in a popular magazine? My argument would be no. As a church, we uniquely exist to provide the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my primary contention is going to be that through faith in Christ, we can achieve peace of mind in our lives. The big question is, well, how? Because that seems very nebulous. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, great. What does that mean? How does that practically work out? How does it mean that the truth that we are sinners alienated from God, but God has pursued us by becoming Jesus of Nazareth, living a perfect life, dying on a cross in our place, raising again from the dead to liberate us from sin, death, and judgment, and ascending into heaven to provide the Holy Spirit to those who would believe? How does that speak into peace of mind? Well, I hope that here in Philippians, we'll see some practical outworkings of that. The first thing, if we're going to reduce the static and gain some peace of mind, first we must get some perspective. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, very basically, rejoice in the Lord. He is near. The gospel is the message that God has come to us. We are not having to grasp at God. We are not blind people just kind of fumbling about. It used to be that way. But God has revealed himself to us in Christ. And through his death, resurrection, and ascension, while Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for our behalf, he has provided the Holy Spirit to be with us. So whatever our situation is, whatever malady is true of our situation, whatever it is that is a way it shouldn't be, we need to get some perspective that God is near. He's not on the other side of the universe, amusing himself with some other thing. But he is near, and indeed, through faith in Christ, is in us by his Holy Spirit. Now, that's only as valuable as your concept of God is robust. If you have a fairly lame vision of who God is and what he's about, then God being near is of little consequence. And it brings a little peace. But when we step back and say, the creator, sustainer of the universe, in whom all things hold together and find their place, he is with us. He is near. He is sovereign. And he is good. Then that becomes a different story. And this God can be trusted. So the Lord is near. He can be trusted. So spend some time in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Spending time in prayer. Not only is God near, but he relates with us. He wants us to share our lives with him. Those things that are stressing us out, those things that are niggling in the back of our minds, those things that keep us awake at night, those things that wake us up early in the morning, those are all things that are eligible and ought to be prayed about. Oftentimes we approach prayer and we say, okay, I'm going to pray now. We go to start praying and our mind starts wandering off somewhere. We go, I'm praying, dang it. Get back on track. And Lord Jesus, you're amazing. I ponder the works of your hands. Oh man, that email. And we try to take our life and put it over here and focus on God in prayer, when really what I believe God would have us do is take our life that we're trying to shove over to the side, and instead of pushing it to the side to focus on God, in inverted commas, he wants us to bring those things to him in prayer. That reveals where our heart and where our mind is at. So rather than saying, oh, I need to, no, stop thinking about the email. Pray about the email. Instead of trying to shove your to-do list, your homework, your project off to the side, pray about them. Bring God into your life. He is near. If He is so near, why are we so insistent on creating that layer of removal? Bring Him in. Bring your stuff into His presence. Be an integrated and integrated integrity. Be a whole, unified person. And as we pray, what we're saying is, God, here it is. I trust you. I trust you. So I would say, if we want to gain peace of mind, the first thing is just trust God. He's near. Share it with Him. Trust Him. Thirdly, mind your mind. A little bit of intellectual self-control, we might say. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, whatever is admirable, think about these things. Oftentimes, our minds can get sucked into this downward spiral. Now, this isn't the power of positive thinking. This isn't wishful thinking. This isn't selectively observing the world around you. This isn't putting your head in the sand and saying, oh, I'm just not going to think about that hard thing. I just can't cope. What it means is, in the midst of the stuff that's keeping you up at night, in the midst of the stuff that's creating static in your heart and in your mind, bring the gospel to bear on it. How does truth speak into this situation? How can this ignoble situation become noble through the working of God? How can this unjust situation become just through the power of the gospel? How can this impure situation be made pure by the working of Christ? How can this ugly thing that has happened be made beautiful as it is brought to Christ and it is changed and transformed by Him and His power? Think about that. How does the gospel minister in that situation? We are not here simply to do what everybody else does and to fail at it like everyone else is. Education, economics, and politics have not resolved the human dilemma. Full stop. Religion has not resolved the human dilemma. Full stop. The unique message of the gospel is that God alone can change, save, transform, rescue, minister to the human dilemma. That doesn't mean we ignore education, economics, politics, and the like. What it means is we bring them into the submission of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we take those ugly things, sinful, unclean things, and by the gospel make them clean. So we mind our mind. How does the gospel speak to the situation? Lastly, we live rightly. Whatever you have learned, received, heard, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We can kind of take these last two points and say, obey. We're going to trust God. He's here. We're going to pray. But we're also going to obey. We're going to mind our minds. We're going to live rightly. One of the premier causes of a lack of peace of mind in our lives is our sin. Our guilty consciences. We know we've done wrong. We know we've messed it up. I would argue the most disruptive sin also is the least public. The things no one knows about. And it just sits with a fester in our lives, disrupting our work performance, disrupting our home economics, disrupting our relationships with each other,
Because first and foremost, it has disrupted our relationship with God. And if we want peace of mind, sin must be resolved. Not only the sin that we've committed, but the sin that's been committed against us. And the only remedy for sin is Christ. God and Him alone is the only one who can resolve that. And through His saving work in our life, through His forgiveness, through being connected back to Him in relationship, and through the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, we are equipped and we are empowered to then live rightly. If we want to pursue peace of mind outside of Christ, we can only find it superficially. And perhaps you're like, dude, Nevins, I actually dig my job. I like my income. I'm cool with my life. I don't know what you're on about. Okay, fine, whatever. I bet we could scratch very slightly beneath that surface, though, and unearth a different story. So I want to encourage you to trust and obey and to find peace of mind in your life in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, that when we have those moments of discontent and disquiet in our hearts and in our minds, that we would turn to you. And like the psalmist turned to how you saved the Israelites from Egypt and delivered them out of slavery, I pray that we would turn to you and think of how you have delivered us from slavery to sin and death and brought us into the freedom of your family. Lord, as we experience that in our lives, I pray that we would have something to share with those we love. In Christ's name, amen.